Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our consideration this morning is from John chapter 10. I'd like to draw your attention to verse 10, where it says, "A thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is the word of the Lord. Today is Good Shepherd Sunday. It's a day that we celebrate every year, this fourth Sunday after Easter, the day in which we celebrate every year that Jesus is our Good Shepherd. We celebrate the shepherding love of Jesus for you and me as members of his flock. But the thing is that for most of us, we don't really understand the intricacies, the intimacies between a shepherd and his sheep. At least not like people did in centuries past, or maybe even as people today do in other parts of the world. I mean, we sort of get the whole shepherd and sheep relationship to a degree, but to really understand it deeply, to really get how Jesus is the good shepherd and not just any old shepherd, well, maybe we need to spend a little time talking about that relationship. And what I'd like to share with you this morning is an illustration that I think most, if not all of us, can relate to, and that is owners caring for their pets. Now, as a pet owner within the last year, certainly life has changed, and you begin to see how that relationship is. I don't think you have to just have a dog or a cat. I'm sure other owners of other pets of other kinds can relate to this too. But I'm going to focus in on these dogs and cats of ours in kind of a crazy way. It's almost as if they become like family for us. And over time, as they become nearer and dearer to us, well, we kind of dote on them all the more, huh? The more they become reliant on what we provide for them and what we do for them. And as they rely on us more and more, of course, that just gives us even more opportunities to give to them and care for them and, well, I'll just say it, spoil them. You probably know the type. The type may even be you. But let me give you some examples just in case you want a few examples on how we dote on our pets, and some of them get to be quite ridiculous. I'm sharing a few examples with you today from a list of about 30 of the most ridiculous dog and cat items that people purchase for their pets. The first one is the purr detector collar. This collar is for people who want to know if their cat is purring without actually listening to the cat, touching the cat, or being close to the cat at all. In other words, it's totally practical. Or how about pet jewelry? Surely a sign of the apocalypse, because stuff like this actually exists. All I can think of is that there are probably millions of animals who would love a warm home and food, while Pepe Le Poodle here is wandering around with Swarovski crystal hair clips and Tiffany necklaces. Or how about this one? Crooning for cats. Tyus Music, created by musician David Tye, has made a series of songs made specifically for the enjoyment of cats. Based on cats' physiological traits and instincts, each song is designed to convey a particular mood and feeling for the feline listener, a meow mix of sorts. Or how about this one? The Bilingual Translator. Certainly a must-have for every dog owner. Apparently, it analyzes a dog's barks to determine which emotions your pooch is feeling. Happy, sad, frustrated. It then provides a written phrase that represents what your dog might say if only it could speak, like, "What's wrong with you that you spent your money on this thing?" Of course, not to be outdone, we wouldn't want to leave out the cat owners because there's also the Meowlingual Translator. From the same creator of the Bilingual Translator. Now you no longer have to wonder if your cat is plotting your demise, as this will translate those purrs and hisses into the sound of wasted money. But if your But if dog and cat tech are not your thing and your interest runs a little more toward fashion, don't worry, because for you, there is Pawlish. On the plus side, the product is safe for animals. On the negative side, the product actually exists and people actually use it. But finally, for those of you who just can't get close enough to your pet, introducing the Papoose Dog Sling Carrier. Do you consider your pet more of an accessory than a companion? Well, then you should know that pet purses are so last year. This contraption will allow you to sling them around with you while you also lose their respect. In the most fashionable way possible, of course. Now, I know it's all rather ridiculous, isn't it? What some people will do for their pets. But this starts to give you an idea of what a shepherd does for the sheep. The care, the vigilance, the sustenance, the protection, the comfort that shepherds provide for their sheep. And as ridiculous as it sounds, shepherds treat their sheep like they're part of their own family, almost like they're their own children. And quite frankly, without a shepherd, those sheep will not survive. Of course, if Jesus is our shepherd, well, guess what that makes you and me? Sheep, which isn't exactly a flattering term. I mean, what do we mean when we say that? Let me give you an illustration here. Fill in the blank. Strong as an ox? Sure, that's good. Graceful as a swan? Ferocious as a lion, maybe a tiger? Blank as a sheep? Dumb, weak, stupid, helpless, you name it. There's a lot of things you could fill in the blank about sheep. And that's you and me. We may not like it, but if we're honest with ourselves, that is an apt description. Because think about it. Without our good shepherd Jesus in this world, where would we be? What would we be doing? Where would we be wandering? What would we be getting into? It's pretty clear. If we were left to follow our own natural inclinations, our own feelings, our own instincts, well, how good are they, really? You know the answer to that. I mean, the things that come into our minds and hearts, it makes sense to us that if we would just maybe set aside some of those more difficult teachings from the Bible, well, then maybe people would be a little more willing to come to church, and then we'd have more people in church. That's a good thing, isn't it? After all, having a full church is good. Our instincts tell us that it doesn't really matter what other people believe, right? I mean, after all, who am I to tell somebody else what is right or wrong to them? We can just believe what we want and we'll just all get along. It'll be fine. Yeah, left to our own hearts, we question God's power and presence in our lives as we look around and think to ourselves, where's God? With all of this that's going on in the world, how powerless I feel, how lonely I feel. I mean, didn't Jesus, the Good Shepherd, say that he came so that I could have life to the full, to have life abundantly? And you know where each of those leads. You start throwing away doctrine. You start denying what God can do. You start to think that it doesn't matter what you believe. And those are paths that don't lead anywhere good. In fact, they lead to nowhere but death and destruction. Because you see, left to our own instincts and feelings that are completely untrustworthy, we have to realize that all of those thoughts and feelings come from within us, where by nature we have hearts and minds that are conceived and born and steeped in sin. That's why we so desperately need the leadership of our good shepherd, because left to ourselves we think, well, it's only a little sin, how much damage can it really do? Well, it feels good, so, I mean, why not do it? Oh, God couldn't really have meant that in his word. Surely we're interpreting it wrong. Yeah, we follow our own feelings and instincts rather than following the Good Shepherd, and we can be absolutely sure that we will wander down the path, we will go away from God's word and God's truth and becomes lost. And you know what happens to wandering and lost sheep? In a word, dead. For you and me, that means dead eternally. But how good for us that we have the Good Shepherd, who, as we just sang, knows our needs and well provides us. He feeds you, he clothes you, he comforts you, he protects you, he stands beside you, he cares for you more than owners their pets, even the ridiculous ones, more than regular shepherds their sheep. In fact, our Good Shepherd loves you so much, it is ridiculous. When you couldn't live on your own, he lived for you. When God demands life for the payment of sin, and you and I couldn't pay it, he paid it for you with his own life. And when we try to follow our own feelings and our own instincts, and we wander from the path, when we head down that path that is leading nowhere but to death and destruction, he gently reaches out with his guiding staff and he pulls us back to him, to safety. As Isaiah wrote, we all like sheep have gone astray. As Paul wrote to the Romans, we all have sinned, but God has taken that sin and that waywardness and he put it all on Jesus, our Good Shepherd. And then, ridiculously, he not only willingly took it on himself, he gave up his life. He died for his sheep. He was like a lamb led to the slaughter so that you and I would know forgiveness rather than failure, that we would know peace instead of chaos, that we would know confidence instead of timidity, that we would know safety instead of fear, and that we would know eternal life instead of eternal death. That's what makes him our Good Shepherd, the ridiculous, the ridiculously good. He said, a thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Peter put it this way. He wrote, he himself carried our sins in his body on the tree so that we would be dead to sins and alive to righteousness. By his wounds you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but you are now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. But you know what is most amazingly ridiculous? It's that after laying down his life for you, he didn't stay dead. No, a little later in John chapter 10, Jesus says, this is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. This is the commission I received from my Father. He who laid down his life for you took it up again for you. Because you see, that's what gives him the authority to be our Good Shepherd. We know that he is ours. You can be confident that he is yours and that he is the path to follow, the word to trust. Because he's proven that he really is Lord of all, even life and death. He came back from the grave for you, to bless you with the most ridiculous of gifts. you think some of those products were ridiculous that owners give their pets, but look at what our good shepherd gives to us. Just look at Psalm 23, the psalm that describes those loving gifts from a doting good shepherd. He says that he will continue to keep you from want. He will keep restoring your soul through the green pastures and nourishing streams of his gospel message. He will keep guiding you in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. And even when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you need not fear, because he's with you. Even in the presence of your enemies, you can sit down and be secure, knowing that you can eat, knowing that all is safe. Truly, your cup runs over. Surely, goodness and love will follow you all the days of your life. And when it's all over, your good shepherd welcomes you into the eternal sheep pen, where he invites you to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All of that? Now that's abundant life. Abundant life now, abundant life forever. And as ridiculous as all that sounds, it's true. And it's all yours by grace through faith from Jesus, the Good Shepherd, your Good Shepherd. Amen.